Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, Christine. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. How you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Awesome.
The key of awesome.
The key of awesome.
Remember that guy?
I think whatever happened to those guys?
I don't know. We used to love them on YouTube. They were called the key of awesome.
The key of awesome. I just used to say that all the time. Yeah. I feel like I'm the key of awesome. Yeah. Life is good in the key of awesome. Life is good all the way around, isn't it?
Life is good.
And life is good. Yes, life is good. Here we are. We're your resident law of attraction coaches, and you're a psychotherapist, and our show's called Life with the Girlfriends. I'm an educator and also getting my master's.
You Woo-hoo! Are getting your... I'm so proud of you, honey.
Thank you, girlfriend. I appreciate that. And I'm playing with my volume right now just because I want to. And, you know, our show is about, on Sunday nights, about having a good time.
It is.
You know, the first 20 minutes of our show, we talk about the week and what crazy stuff happens and what we can pull. What kind of little tidbit of knowledge that we can pull that can make it happy for us, happier?
There's always a nugget somewhere, isn't there?
Yes. And then we have what we call Elliot's Corner. And Elliot's Corner is our little animal stories about our dog, Elliot.
He's a Wheaton Terrier.
And what we can learn from our dogs to make our lives bigger and better and brighter and putting more life into them. I mean, they already bring more life to you, don't they, when you have dogs?
Right.
And then we're going to talk a little bit about... Today, we have our third part of our show is always about the pillars of our life. And those are those sections of our life that we call our coachy, come out and just coachy part, you know? And today, I want to talk about Tim Ferriss and his podcast. I love Tim Ferriss.
We love Tim Ferriss around here. Yeah.
And he really hits a lot of the pillar talk. You know, and I want to talk about him a little bit and what he's talked about. And I want to talk about Tony Robbins a little bit and just some different stuff. And what came to me today, first of all, I wanted to kind of share with you this week about how I just had this intense, intense feeling that we are all just so incredibly hard on each other and hard on ourselves.
Right.
We just haven't learned to cut ourselves enough slack.
No.
And we haven't learned, like, our successes are not good enough for some reason. Mm-hmm. Now, you're raising kids, mm-hmm. or you're beyond that, or you're not, or you have a job. I mean, there are so... I haven't met one person recently.
There's some invisible yardstick that we seem to try to keep being measured by. That's just literally impossible to live up to. And then there's... You hear about these really third world countries.
Yes.
That are just plain happy.
Yes.
Happy, content, at peace. There's no envy.
Well, and
it's just
different what you hear. You're exactly right. Or there's populations, and this is giving me the story you're talking about. I love it because I want to talk about Congo a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I remember about 4 or 5 weeks ago, I was talking about this train that went from one part of the Congo to the other part of the Congo, and it literally was this ecosystem all unto itself.
Right.
And it had 2,000 people on it at any given time, and it probably was only suitable for like 200 to 300 at the most.
Mm-hmm.
So there are people everywhere, right? And babies were born on the train. If you found a spot, you stay on it. You know, I mean, if the train broke down, you get out and the commerce would be taking place. And it was just this crazy thing. And the conductor hadn't been paid for 9 months. And so he was getting paid by, if you wanted to be in first class, you could come get the conductor a little bit more money and he'll let you sit in front with him in the engine room.
Give him chicken.
Yes. And it was just a very interesting story. And I loved it. And I said to you, they seem content.
Right.
And happy.
Right.
And they were, once in a while you hear a kid cry because somebody just stepped on him by accident because they were trying to get from one place to another.
Right.
And then I was watching a Law and Order. And they were talking.
Dun, dun,
dun. Yeah. And they were talking about, in this one episode, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, because it was been on the Law and Order has been on a long time. But they were saying this episode was about the Congo and how there were just a lot of raping going on in the Congo. And, you know, and I thought to myself,
Law and Order about the Congo?
Well, the story goes like this. You know, this one woman who was don't tell Trump. she was not, you know, she was not legal. She was from the Congo, got over here into America on a visa. The visa expired. Mm-hmm. Didn't want to go back because she had been raped, you know, and that's just the culture back there, mm-hmm. supposedly. And that's what the storyline was about. But then she had to testify because she saw a crime committed.
Oh, yes. I remember that one. Oh,
and so it's interesting because I just saw that recently. And, I'm like, well, you know, I don't think there was a lot of raping going on that Congo train. I think there was no room for raping.
That's right.
You know,
that's
right. Everybody had to be somewhat pleasant with each other. Mm-hmm. There is this idea that the more confined you are or the more population we have to have systems in place to be more just pleasant yes. with each other.
Yes.
How do we survive otherwise?
Well, I saw that we were talking to a woman and she had a pin on that said, be kind.
Yes.
And we said, oh, my gosh.
We said,
are you part of, do you adhere to the four cardinal virtues? And she went, I'm not sure. And you said, well, one of the cardinal virtues is I'd rather be kind than right.
Rather be kind than right.
And, you know, there's as you get older, there's just so many pleasantries
yes.
that you need to take time for. You need to just, yes. like, we've noticed, like, when Norm walks Elliot, we've noticed many times that Norm will literally stop and smell the roses.
100%.
He will just stop.
Yeah.
Whatever he's doing to smell a flower or to
right.
to do something. And you know, how many of us really do that anymore?
Well, it's funny because
what is the hurry?
No, I know.
What is the sickness?
Well, it's so funny because when Dad came in from one of his walks this week, he goes, you know, our dog Elliot, man. He just takes his own sweet time. He is always just stopping to smell the flowers.
He blamed it on Elliot.
Blamed it on Elliot.
Oh, that's so great.
Which I loved. I thought that was awesome.
That's so sweet.
Yeah. Our dog Elliot stops to smell the flowers. I understand. I understand.
He stops to smell that and somebody else's piss. And
yes, exactly. By the way, girl, I didn't tell anybody that we should go to our website, ChristyMarieAndJulie.com,
yes.
to find out more about us. And also to get our book, The Clutterfly Effect.
Right.
Tweak Your Way, A Total Transformation by Decluttering Your Life.
Right.
It was an Amazon number one bestseller.
Yeah. So, Julie, that's so great. And we're close, aren't we, to actually
having everything shaken up.
Kind of shaken everything
yes.
up. We're
I've
really
close. I've got everything
close.
Just about done.
I know. It's kind of exciting.
It is exciting.
I know.
It's very exciting. So getting back to being people being hard on themselves,
mm-hmm.
too hard.
Yeah.
And then also, like you said, in some of these countries, you feel that there's just this, like, expectation that life is okay.
Well, I can remember coaching by Skype a young client in Denmark.
Yeah.
And she lived in literally, like, one room and probably a third of the size, maybe even smaller, of my bedroom.
Right.
You know, but I remember just the light just pouring in from
yes.
her window.
Yes.
She looked darling. She was like, excuse me, I'm yawning. Oh, excuse me. She was like, someone just gave me a bike. She was happy as a clam because
yes.
that's all they do is ride their bikes
right.
there. And there was this just, I mean, I'm looking at her on Skype, and there's just this glow. There was just
yeah.
this glow. And I honestly, I knew her circumstance in terms of financially.
Right.
But that didn't matter. I mean,
right.
she was just, you know, amazing.
Yeah.
So I know that we've got, I think, as a culture, we've got a ways to go.
Well, and I think we miss the mark when we mix success with it all. Because we, in America, we try and, I mean, we're like about having bigger lives, too. And we're about having more life in your life.
Yes.
And that means something different from everybody.
Absolutely.
But I don't know anybody, really, I don't know anybody who I can say, I've never seen be kind. You know, even the jerkiest people, like, oh, they had a jerky moment. Most of the time, though, people are genuinely kind and nice. However, they're just so hard on themselves. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm not good enough. I'm not successful enough.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do this. I can't save enough money. I can't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And in the midst of all of this, they're taking care of the family. they're taking care of themselves. Mm-hmm. And I remember Byron Katie.
Yeah, Byron Katie.
She was listening to one of her tapes or CDs or something, and she was talking about this woman was said, she doesn't know if she's smart enough to be a parent. And she goes, well, you don't think you're smart enough to be a parent? He goes, do you think you're like average smartness compared to everybody else out there? She goes, yeah, probably. Well, then I would think that you're smart enough to be a parent, you know, and so forth. Mm-hmm. So I realize that people are just, they judge themselves so harshly on whether or not they can do something. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of ways, it stops them from trying to do better.
Right.
Because I think it's okay to like be a parent and go, I want to be a better parent.
Well, also there, this little thing that happens is sort of the inmates are running the asylum at some point because the people who are judicious and say, I wonder, you know, they may, but the ones that like haven't got a brain in their head are just like they're doing it.
They're the ones
that are running the asylum.
Right, you
know,
because, I get that.
Yeah, and you have to be a little careful of that. You know, I'm reminded of this week you showed me this little, it wasn't really a cartoon, but it was a picture of an iceberg, the tip of an iceberg.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, up of the water, the tip of the iceberg, mm-hmm. and on top of it, it had success.
Yes.
And this is what people see. Mm-hmm. People go, oh, they've arrived, or they have success, they've got the new whatever, you know, and right. this and that, and it looks so, you know. And then it showed below the iceberg, below the tip of the iceberg, below the water, and underneath there were things like grit, disappointment,
failure,
obstacles.
Yes.
All the stuff that really...
Goals and then good habits.
Good habits that it took.
Focus. Yeah. All the things that took...
To get to what you see...
Which is success.
Is that it looks so easy and clean and, you just did that, right?
My brother Greg was talking about the movie I'm Not Your Guru, Tony Robbins movie on Netflix.
Right.
Maybe we'll watch that tonight.
Anyway,
he was talking about it and he was saying that... He just found it fascinating. There was this one scene where, what were you talking about? No, I just forgot.
The success, the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, I know. No, I can't remember. I had a thought I was going to say. No, I can't remember. Oh, well, move on.
Okay.
No.
It sounded like it would have been good.
It would have been good.
But the thing below the iceberg with the the obstacles
I
and
can't
grit.
Remember.
Not there.
You know what? I worry about myself sometimes. And I claim to myself that I don't worry anymore. But there are moments where I feel maybe I need to take Alpha Brain from, you know, Joe Rogan or something like that, because I'm holding thoughts and I know they're a great thought and literally it vanishes. I don't know where that goes to.
Right.
I mean, is there a place in my brain like where lost socks go in the dryer?
Yeah.
That I have all these lost thoughts that were really awesome when they came out and then they're just gone.
And not, you know, that's why some people write things down.
Yes. Exactly.
And those are boring.
Well,
people.
I will bring up something from Tony Robbins then really quick.
Sure.
But how can I write things down in that moment?
Yeah, how can you?
I mean, I would always be writing my words down. And how boring would that be?
Yeah.
Hold on, everybody. I have to write everything I say and think of as I'm talking to you just for that one chance I might forget.
That's kind of how the world is going, though. Oh. You have to snap everything. You have to take a picture of this. Or, you know, if you have a thought, you have to send it out into the universe. The ethers.
So someone can look at the thought and you're like, well, really?
And then like it.
Yeah.
Give them a thumbs up.
Well, anyway, there has been, I'll talk about this real quick about Tony Robbins. Because I've been looking into his live events. Now, I've done Tony Robbins' coursework and so forth like that. I love his Unlock the Beast Within.
The genius.
Is it a beast?
Is it a beast?
I don't know what it is. But I got it from QVC. You probably pay about $300 for this course. It's a great course. I listen to it all the time. Mm-hmm. And can't think of what you're unlocking right now. But... It's like this. Rawr! That's what I imagine it being. This is lying. I'm unlocking
just unlock it. Whatever it is.
And so, I guess at one of his conferences, you run the Kohl's, and I looked, and like for $550, I can go to California and I can be up in the nosebleed seats to see him. at one auditorium, and I think it's like set near San Diego, I think. But and though that does include walking through the coals,
it does.
Yes, it does. And once in a while, you'll hear on a news report, "Ooh, you know, incident at Tony Robbins thing. 50 people have rushed to the hospital because they burnt their feet. You know, walking the coals."
Yes, I've heard that.
And they, you know, and it's sort of like shame, shame, shoot, shame, shame, shame you on Tony Robbins. And yet he still does it the next time he has a thing.
Right.
And I thought to myself, well, this is exactly what he wants. Yeah. I mean, what's the worst that can happen to you?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to burn your feet.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'll need to take care of it. They'll most likely heal. But you did something that you didn't really want to do. And what's the worst that can possibly happen?
Right, right.
You burned your feet.
Yeah.
I'm sure in his mind, this worked exactly the way I wanted it to work.
Right. So like some you're saying, like the tip of the iceberg, that top is a success. And underneath in the water, there's a little place called burned your feet.
Yes. There's a lava. There's that open volcano down there that you can be really careful of. If you get too close, you're going to burn your feet really bad.
That's right.
And then on the second time, but just close enough, you're like, oh, the water's warm. Maybe a little uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I got to get through it.
That's right.
Yeah. I'll talk more a little about this during my Tim Ferriss time when we talk about pillar talk.
Oh, okay.
So that's my Tony Robbins thing. But I may go. I wish he would come closer. I don't feel like going to California again.
Mm-hmm.
And I would, if we went to Chicago, I bet Gregory would go with me.
I bet he would.
And maybe Rebecca would go too, his wife. That'd be kind of fun. Maybe Doug would go. Then all of us would go when we come back.
Then it would not be fun.
Yeah.
That really? Doug?
He may. I don't know if he'd get anything out of it.
He would just laugh at you.
I wouldn't want someone to come that would tell me I was crazy for walking on coals. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't know if I would walk on coals. I would really hope I could try. It's like jumping out of a plane. Mm-hmm. You know, we live so close to Chicago Sky, the actual right. Chicago Sky Flyers.
Right.
And I adore going there on a Sunday afternoon and just watch these people jump out of planes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think their website's called Perfectly Good Plane.
I think so too. Yes.
You know, I'm not jumping out of an airplane, a perfectly good plane, you know, and so forth. But I don't know. I want to break through that fear, mm-hmm. knowing that there's a good chance I may burn my feet. Mm-hmm. Now, not everyone burns their feet, but I bet every time a portion of people burn their feet. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not enough calluses. I'll tell you, probably people who do burn their feet. I got an idea. Now I'm thinking clearly. I could be totally wrong on this, mm-hmm. but I'm thinking clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Those people who do those omape or pomame.
Amape. Yes.
People who really take really good care of their feet.
Yeah.
There's not one callus on their foot whatsoever. They're really pretty. Those people are going to burn their feet.
Yes.
Because their feet are suckers. Yeah. Yeah, suckers.
Well, we should come out with an actual Tony Robbins fire walking kit.
We should.
That you can get your,
awesome.
You get your feet ready for the event.
Oh my God. No, that's a good question.
Hello?
No, I believe if you put like a salve on, like Vaseline on your feet,
uh-huh.
I don't think, or like, and this is probably wrong, because I first thought Crisco. Now I think Crisco burns. I think that's wrong. Crisco might not be the wrong
yeah,
one.
Yeah, you could fry your feet.
But then. Isn't there, I think if you put, now I could be wrong on this too. You know, like that saying, it's not what you don't know that gets you in trouble. It's what you think you know, but it's totally wrong that gets you in trouble. But I think now.
Yes. Think about the Crisco thing.
Yeah.
And do not do it.
But I think you're supposed to put Crisco on if you go into the ocean and it's cold out. You don't have a wetsuit. Because the Crisco will keep you warmer.
Yeah. That would be true.
Is that true?
I think that's what Ryan Lochte said.
Is that right? Now, I believe everything he says. Or is that what Jason Statham told me? When you're in a fight, in a battle, you bust all your body down. Because then by doing that, no one can cut you when you're fighting. Yeah.
And is also, if it gets a little cold, you can cuddle.
With oil. Get all lubed up.
I'll cuddle with Jason Statham.
Yes, I will too. No doubt about it. There's a lot of different uses for oil. I've been just a lot of different uses for oil.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty amazing, I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm. There's got to be an app for that.
So I don't know. Maybe there is. I would have to investigate before I do the firewalking. Like,
right.
What if? And then I was thinking this, like if I jumped out of a plane, you know, how do you protect yourself from passing out and then not pulling the ripcord? And I go, I know that initially you have to go down with somebody initially, like they're attached to your back. Mm-hmm. Well, what if they pass out also?
Mm-hmm. Well, I was listening to a guy on the radio his first time he passed out.
Yeah.
He said he just passed out, and I don't know how it happened, but his ripcord opened up.
Yeah, and he came down really fast.
Yes.
Like on his ass really fast.
Yeah, and
I don't know either. But when I heard that, I'm like, that's really scary. And, you know, and I've seen other people who just, remember that one we were watching and he was jumping out of the plane, he had a seizure going down?
Yes.
And his friends were videotaping going, oh, this is not good.
Yeah.
You know, and then to find out he was known to have seizures, but he hadn't had one in like 2 or 3 years. Dude, then don't, you know, maybe you've got to have, don't they? They should have those timers that if you don't pull the ripcord by this time, it automatically explodes for you.
Yeah, there's got to be something like that.
There has to be. And if that's not in there, that's a pretty.
That's something that we should invent.
Yes.
Along with the Tony Robbins foot spread.
I'm gonna definitely invent that. That's gonna be an Amazon winner.
Yeah.
Do you know he like sees like 2 million people every year?
Who?
Tony Robbins. Like 2 million people do that firewalk every year.
Oh my
Something
God.
Crazy like that.
Oh my God. Paying $1,000 a piece.
Well, like the cheap seats are $560.
Mm-hmm.
If you get 20% off.
Wow.
Early bird special.
Yeah.
I'm looking into it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm okay spending more money, but I just don't know if I want to. It's like a 3-day event, you know?
And you got to get out there. You got to pay for the hotel.
Yeah,
room.
That's why I'm like, I hope he comes to Chicago because maybe I will go.
Has he ever come to Chicago?
Yeah, he has.
Oh, he has? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Chicago is a wonderful place to come to, people. Let's go to Chicago.
I just heard they're going to name Sox Stadium.
Yes.
Rename it Great Rate Stadium.
Yeah, Great Rate or Rate Direct or Direct
Great
Rate.
Great Rates, I think.
Yeah.
It's a mortgage company. Sexy.
Yes. Well, what you realize is that they're making some bank if they're going to put their name on a stadium.
Yeah.
You know. Oh, well. It makes me feel sad.
Yeah.
So, girlfriend, are we complete with, how is your week going? Going good?
Oh, yeah.
You've got some shit going on, but we'll talk about it later.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll choose to talk about it when it's all said and done.
Maybe.
Maybe not. You're a woman of mystery.
I should have my own Hallmark movie.
Woman of mystery.
Yes. Christine right. Marie, woman of mystery.
All right, everyone. Hey, you ready for a little Elliot's Corner?
Sure. Go ahead and play your ukulele for me.
I once had a dog, or should I say, he once had me. Welcome to Elliot's Corner. Okay, there it was, my ukulele. And here we are talking about Elliot's Corner, where we talk about animals and what we can learn from animals. And we mostly talk about our dog, Elliot.
We talk about Elliot because we love him so much.
We love him so much. And dog owning. We love being...
Yes.
Dog owning. I was hearing someone say, why would you want to own a dog? Because they're so demanding.
Mm-hmm.
You're not free. And I thought to myself, that is completely true. You are not free.
Ever.
But yet you can chain them up and you can put them in a crate if you want to and not get called by DCFS. So that's a good thing. So you're a little more freer than kids. There is some kind of magic that happens in the spirit.
Yeah. There's a grace. There's a magic. There's just something.
And I think as a culture, a nation, as a world, we're loving our pets more. And loving our animals more. And I think we're also trying to, as most of us are not vegan, I'm not a vegan. I choose to, when I have the option, I try and choose better quality meats and, you know, eggs that are free range
right.
and stuff like that.
Right.
So I think as a culture, we're really trying to, we are maturing our understanding about animals.
Oh, for sure.
And our love, we're cultivating our love.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
And that then turns to humans as well.
I have always thought that, if you can love an animal, I mean, really love an animal, not just take care of it.
Right.
You know, but love it. That you got a good heart. You got a good soul. There's something good about you.
Exactly.
And you're a keeper.
I have been struggling. You know, I came out about a week ago or 2 weeks ago saying how one of Elliot's biggest problems has been, well, he chases cars. And people. He's a crazy...
He's an ankle biter.
Ankle biter. But we haven't perfected the housebreaking yet, and we're approaching 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I know I messed up a little bit because I didn't crate him in a small enough crate when he was a puppy. Mm-hmm. But he was always not a dog. I mean, we would take him out for a half hour. He wouldn't pee. Come back in, he would pee right there. You know, the vet would say, you've got to work on this. We would board him at the vet's once in a while. And he was like, he's got an issue here. You got to work on this. Now, what does that mean? You got to work on this.
Yeah.
I mean, well,
means
tell
we're
me,
frustrated. That's
yeah,
what it means.
Tell me what you mean by that.
Yeah.
I mean, because I'm frustrated myself. I got a dog that would literally rather pee in the house and pee outside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm throwing his poo-poo out there. You know, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. But we've gotten better than that, okay?
Yes.
But so last 3 or 4 weeks, I've been really just
pedal
on
to
it.
The metal.
Every 2 hours out, mm-hmm. first in the morning out. And then I do crate him when he doesn't, when I know that he probably could go.
Right.
And he's not going. And I'm like, you're going back in your crate then, mm-hmm. you know. And
he's getting to know
the
lay of the land.
And he'll cry a little bit once in a while.
Right.
His crate, I'll take him right out and he'll
right.
go to the bathroom and so
right.
forth. And, but yesterday, that little son of a bitch, it had been just an hour. He had gone to the bathroom outside, came in, took a big drink of water, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, well, put this in your memory, Julie. And I was literally getting ready to take him out. And then I saw him running from the office to me. And I'm like, what were you doing in the office, you little piece
mm-hmm.
of shit? And I ran in there, and sure enough, he had just peed in the carpet.
Yeah.
And I was heartbroken
yeah.
because I'm trying so hard. And you're not supposed to beat him or put their nose in it anymore.
Or even shame him.
I understand that. But I did say, we do business outside, Elliot.
Right,
we
right.
do business outside.
Right.
We do business outside, not inside.
That's right.
He's like, I don't know what you're saying to me. And then, I mean, and it's so funny because in the morning it's quiet around our house, you know. And
yes.
He'll pee outside and I'll go, yay, peeing outside, big business outside, good job peeing outside. You know, I'm supposed to give him lots of praise, right?
Right.
And then I hear my voice resonate through the whole neighborhood. I can hear echoing a little bit. And people must be thinking, I'm insane that at this stage of the game, I have to praise my dog this much. Now, Elliot does not look like he could care less.
Right, he doesn't care
like,
less.
I know I'm peeing outside. What's
yeah.
the big deal?
Yeah, really.
Well, it's not to you, Elliot, but it's to
it's
me.
To us.
And so anyway, my neighbor who has a three dogs, she has four dogs, but three we take out once in a while. They're bigger mm-hmm. dogs when mm-hmm. she's the owner of the play and stay that we got kicked out of.
Mm-hmm.
But I still love her, you know. Mm-hmm. She picked me up and said, hey, let's go to the dog park and we'll take Elliot together and we'll go to the one. And you got the fob. And I'll drive, you know, because mm-hmm. we got one dog park that you need a pass to get through, a fob to get into.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of shared with her. I go, oh, you know, I love my dog, but I mean, I am embarrassed to say this, but he is not perfect with a you know, pie train just quite yet.
And see, Linda's like, she's like an old hat. She's
yeah,
got like
she's always
80
had dogs.
Dogs.
She's got four
yeah.
dogs, three yeah. big ones, one little one.
She's got a really nice house.
Oh, yeah, beautiful like, house. And she goes, oh, please. I go. I said my dog still has accidents. I said he goes you know, but Bailey, they're not accidents. He just literally just pees where he wants to.
Is that the little guy?
The little guy.
Oh.
And I thought. And then she goes, and Sadie, I had to remove all rugs from my house. Now we just have wood floors and
marble tile.
Yeah. And otherwise, she sees a rug, she pees on it. And I'm like, oh.
That's Sadie, though.
Yeah, that is Sadie. She's a little.
Sadie's a farter, too.
Oh, she is a farter.
She's like, we
take her out and I come in the car, I'm like,
gosh,
oh, Sadie,
she just
farting.
Farts all the time.
Oh, it's embarrassing.
I know.
And for her, I guess. I don't know who it's embarrassing for. And for me, I'm more like, not sickened, not embarrassed, but more
really
sickened.
Like,
I think one time I asked him, it was you. Did Mom, did you just fart?
I know you did. I know you did.
And she's like, no. I'm like, oh, it's Sadie then.
It's Sadie. I'm going to accuse you.
You can accuse me all you want. I'll whoever accuses dealt it out. No, whoever smelled it dealt it. That's it. But no, and so then I'm starting to get it. Like, really, this is... Dogs still do this once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Very few dogs never. I mean, I shouldn't say that. This is only anecdotal, you know, information here. I haven't taken a real statistic, but I think pet owners are lying to each other.
Oh, I do too.
You know, they're telling you one thing,
right?
But they're behaving in the truth is somewhere in the middle, like,
right?
They're not perfect,
right?
Or that room that you never go into,
that you don't see.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. I believe this, like the Kardashians. I remember watching it one day, and because I needed a mental
vacation.
I needed a mental vacation because I totally checked out. Mm. But the youngest one, who has her own home, she's 19 years old, just turned 19.
I know.
Still, I don't know, a mansion, craziness for a good investment. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, her dog had taken a crap in the closet. She didn't know about it. I'm guessing she could have hired trainers for these dogs.
Sure.
But her dog still, you know, crap and pee. And they got, you know, they got
trained. I remember she went, Norman.
Yeah, Norman.
That's her doggy's name.
Yeah. I wonder why she named Norman. What was the point? No. Walking Dead fan, you think?
Maybe.
Or a fan of my dad?
Yes.
Norman.
Did you notice?
Or a fan of Cheers?
Did you notice, speaking of the Kardashians, that on which with the on the Andy show with the with Jeff Lewis,
yeah,
he lost one of his employees,
yeah,
and we turned on the Kardashians and he was got there. The job there with Chris.
That's a step up.
That's a huge step up. But they missed him though. They said he was like an excellent worker.
Nobody does what he did. He just worked. Nobody knew that how much he worked.
Yeah, until you know, it's like me, Jill. You don't know how much you're gonna miss me until I'm gone.
I know how much we're gonna miss you. This much. And my hands are spread really far away. That's how much I'm gonna miss you, and so forth, and so on, and so on, and so on. So anyway, what I've learned with Ellie today is, first off, this week, is that even if we had a bad moment, we're still going to win the war.
There you go.
We may have lost that battle.
Right.
And we may lose battles along the way. But in the scheme, the whole scheme of thing, he will pee more times outside.
He will be the tip of the iceberg.
Yes.
That's what it'll look like.
The success.
But underneath will be a whole lot of soiled carpeting.
Yes. Underneath will be me literally having to take him out every 2 hours.
Yeah.
Getting on a schedule. And if I'm not home, I'm working, dads can do it, you can do it, however it works out, we'll figure it out, and so forth. Get her done. And if he's not every 2 hours, he gets crated. Because, I mean, I have to say,
this is our commitment level.
Yeah, it's our commitment.
Yeah.
And I would love to just say he can just have the house to himself.
Yeah, for his second birthday in October, he's going to be totally
potty trained. Yes. And our carpet.
That's our story, and we're still getting some new carpeting.
Yes, exactly right. Well, that was a catalyst for
yes,
because
yes.
I feel like we're getting new carpeting in. How can we get new carpet? Gratefully, thank you, Lord Jesus, that we have a dog that doesn't go upstairs.
He doesn't know about it yet.
He knows about it.
He does.
He sits in that corner. He knows there's steps there. He has zero desire. I don't think he's ever been up there.
I don't think so either.
You know, and I've
That's
never.
Great.
I have never said, "Hey, come on up."
No,
I've never done that. I'm like, just stay down there.
Yeah.
If you don't have any desire to go up, I don't have a desire for you to go down.
Because with Molly and Charlie, you know, you would hear like little footsteps tiptoeing up there.
Oh, I knew exactly what was going on.
You know what's going up there then?
Yeah, Molly was in my bed. And Charlie, whoever knows what Charlie was doing, was in the hallway looking at Molly like, you better stay up there. I'm the boss of this house, not you. You're in big trouble if you get off that bed. Or Charlie most likely was down here with us.
Yeah, exactly.
She could have cared less about us. She's like, you feed me, you water me, you take me out, you give
That's
me
right.
love. That's about as much a commitment I want from you people.
That's all I want from you guys.
I want a bed to lay in, which she did. I'm going to share one cute story about Molly, because literally and metaphorically, she was a bitch. But she had one sweet behavior, really sweet behavior.
She did have one sweet behavior.
In bed, when I was laying down, she'd get in bed, and she would put her paw in between my legs and start tapping my legs until and I'm like, this is weird. The first time she did it, I'm like, what the hell are you doing? Until I spread my legs apart.
Then she'd get right in the
then
middle.
Then she'd circle around. She'd lay right in between my legs.
Right.
And then if I didn't move, she would stay. But if I moved
even just
one
a little,
inch,
yes.
She'd like, jump up. Like, what the hell is that? And get out of bed.
Right.
Like, okay, you're getting in my bed and you want to get between my legs.
Tap, 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 tap.
Literally, tap, 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 tap. That was the cutest thing.
That was sweet.
That was sweet.
Yeah.
I don't think Elliot has any of those traits.
No.
I mean, what does he do that's cute?
Well, he
overall, he's a cute dog.
He's darling, but the thing that is kind of aggravating is, like, Doug came over last night.
Yeah.
And for the whole entire time, Elliot just kissed him.
Yeah.
And, like, when he was with Linda on Sunday, yeah, he just hugs her and kisses her. He's, like, overly affectionate.
He's a whore.
Yeah.
And for not getting paid. I mean, he's not like, I would say, hey, if you got paid for it, I'd at least give you a thumbs up, dude. But you're not even getting paid for it.
He's just there.
You're just giving it away for free.
Yeah.
I don't know either. And mostly it just makes me feel.
Makes me feel a little sad, too.
Yeah, because, you know.
Like, what am I, chopped liver?
Yeah,
I'm the one that's paying for everything. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. He don't care. He doesn't know. He doesn't get the concept of family economics and where the money comes from. And that we have to work hard for that money. He doesn't get that. I tell him all the time. You understand?
Mm. So. That bow tie that you're wearing in that picture, or that little kerchief around your neck.
Where do you think that came from?
Yeah.
Trees? The kerchief tree? So, girlfriend, are you ready for a little pillar talk?
Come on, Doris. Sing us into pillar talk.
Pillow talk. Pillow talk. Here we are at pillar talk. Pillow talk. Do-do-do-do. Pillow talk. Do-do-do-do. I always feel so happy when I hear her.
I do, too.
Okay, so here we are. I want to first go to say one more time, go to our website, ChristineMarieAndJulie.com. And we are so close to launching yes, another website.
We promise. We are so close.
I know. I keep adding to my list of things I want done before we launch. Mm-hmm. It's hysterical.
Right.
I think Frank Kern would be like, launch the buddy.
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
People?
What are you doing? You've got too much stuff going
on
here.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Oh, I
see. He goes, because the last time he talked to us, he goes, you guys are at the 75-yard line. Yeah, why aren't you?
Why don't you have a touchdown?
My gosh.
Now we're like at 99.
Yeah, and .9.
Right? Oh, really? It's like the one, not the 75, it's like the 25.
That's right. That's
and then
right.
We're at the one.
That's field. Right. That's right. Excuse me for the wrong football analogy.
Yes. So, but we're having a good time. And I want to talk about this a little bit with talking about Tim Ferriss.
Yeah.
I'm listening to this one podcast of his where he was interviewed. He was being interviewed by the guys from Google. So, you know, he went to the Google compound or the Google University or wherever he went to, and they were asking him questions and so forth. And a couple things he talked about. I think he said he's a Stoic follower. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Philosophy of Stoic.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Okay. Stoicism.
Stoicism. Thank you. But, I thought it was interesting. One thing was that he talked about how he forces himself to fast 1 day, 3 days a month, and he fasts like a 7-day fast every 6 months, something like that. And the reason why is he's training himself to do something hard so that when something really hard comes to him,
mm-hmm,
he can handle it with no pressure.
Mm-hmm.
I know for me this week, I've been really practicing being like Barack Obama, mm-hmm, our president,
mm-hmm,
because from what I hear, nothing fazes him.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say you're like Paul from the
I
Bible.
I say I'm like Paul from the
yes,
Bible
exactly,
because he says, this does not move me.
And I want to be that way, mm-hmm, more and more, because then people can trust you.
Right.
That they can come to you with the big problems.
Right.
And you're not going to go, oh, my. Oh,
I don't believe this.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
No.
You're like, oh, okay. Is it work? You know.
Yeah.
There is nothing anybody can say to me that can't be tweaked to a different level.
Right.
We've all made mistakes. We've all been there. There's nothing going on that nothing new under the sun in some sense. Anyway, he was talking about people who are successful and is there like a theme. And he said one thing he talks about, at least with his friends, and the people he've interviewed, is that they do sometimes discuss, like when they're starting a new project or a new goal, like if it doesn't work out, what am I going to lose?
Mm-hmm.
If nothing comes to be, what will I lose?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's, and sometimes they can say, well, I might lose it all, but I can gain it back. Or when I lose it all, how much time will it take me to get back to zero again or to my net?
Mm-hmm.
And then they go, okay, it's willing to take that risk. I can take that risk now. And I thought that was interesting because sometimes it's good to come from a place of knowing that you are going to be victorious mm-hmm. in your goals. And that means no matter what. Mm-hmm. Like, you only see, you know, 5 years from now, you may see this one goal that I've been working on, but you won't have seen the huge iceberg underneath the water.
Right.
You know, just the top of the part, just right. part of the top. And it may look easy, but in the bottom, you'll see all the things I had to go through to get to where I wanted to be.
Right.
And he said, he goes, there's a lot of people out there that are still just swinging. They're going, I'm going to take another chance at up to bat. I'm going to go up to bat again and try again and keep trying until I succeed.
Hmm.
And I love that idea because there is this, you have to come really clean in your mind about knowing exactly where you want to go. We were reading some Kenneth Copeland stuff, actually, and it talked about knowing where you really want to go and then leaving the timing up, in some sense, to God, to the universe, however you put it in your own mind, because you can't control every aspect of the world. You're in the world. You know where you want to go, and yet you got to kind of just, in some ways, get into the flow of what the universe has prepared for you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple goals I've been working on that I have keep putting back on the back burner, like not this year, but next year for sure. And I know I've said this 3 years in a row, because to get this goal done, I would have to upset the whole apple cart of my life, you know? And there, house building.
Oh,
I'll say, I want to build a house, everybody. Mom's looking at me like, what goal are you working on that you can't achieve? I have, and I want to build a house.
Yeah, I of course.
And Mom's like, what
goal? I'm mouthing it to you. What is this, sweetie?
You're mouthing it to me.
I'm like, what is
this goal that's causing you so much heartache?
Yeah, 3 years in a row.
Well, because I've bought property.
No, but now I get it. Now I get it.
And I have several properties.
Right.
Because we have built 7 homes in our lifetime.
Probably.
I love building homes.
Yeah.
This house that we've built, which we love, gorgeous property, gorgeous home. We were only supposed to be here for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And stuff happened. The housing market crashed.
Little stuff like that
we were like, well, let's just keep holding on to it because we don't want to give it away. There was no point in moving.
No, because we loved it here.
And we weren't desperate. You know, we don't come from a place where we have to move.
No.
But I love building. And I have property to build on. And so, you know, I sometimes come up with this plan of trying to go, well, if we sell this house now and we move into a quote unquote, maybe like a fourplex, and then we start building our other house, a new house, in 6 to 8 months. And so, and then I go, well, wait a minute. We have this dream that we're working on right now, and we have this goal we're working on right now. And to add this into the mix seems really, really mm-hmm. crappy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we've kind of, then you're like, okay, we can do what we did before. And, you know, we lived in it when we built this house, we lived in a camper because we sold our other house first.
Yeah.
And then I've just said, you know what, God, this next house I'm building with cash, and I am building it before we have to move.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care if we have to have 2 homes. I will mm-hmm. rent out the new home mm-hmm. until we sell this house.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt like there might be a more humane way
yes.
for my family to do this.
Yes, exactly.
Than to just burn it all down, you know, sell it now, live in a camper,
mm-hmm.
build the other house, you know, mm-hmm. sort of like, let's just take a deep
yeah.
breath.
Yeah.
On the other hand, though, it's now been 3 years and I haven't built my house yet.
Right.
So, I don't know.
I know what you mean, honey. But speaking of campers,
yeah.
I wanted to say that this week, you know, we bought a camper a couple years ago. And Dad and I never used it. And
right.
so we sold it this spring to our dog groomers.
Yes.
And they loved it. And then we get a call from them this week that they totally wrecked it.
And their van that pulled it.
Oh,
I was so heartbroken.
I know.
And they had 9 poodles
Nine
in there.
Poodles were in there, yeah.
Not in the trailer, but in the van, thank God.
Yeah, thank God.
And so I guess somehow it lost balance and it pulled them over into the side and they rolled over. And
yeah.
I guess all the poodles that were in the crates were still in the crate standing, but they were now on the ceiling because they were upside down.
Oh, my God.
And she broke her clavicle.
Yeah.
And he was okay. I'm like, thank God they're okay. But yeah, the trailer was demolished.
Demolished. And they called and asked us if, because the insurance agency said, do you have any, they couldn't even tell what it looked like.
No.
Because it was just crunched.
Yeah.
And they said, do you have any pictures of what it used to look like? And
yeah,
they were hoping that we did.
And I had to, I mean, the answer was no. It was funny. I had five. I thought to myself, I'm sure I do.
Sure.
I must have deleted them.
Yeah.
Clearing up my camera phone.
Right.
And I had five pictures on Dad's phone, and they were all had the camper with the cover on it.
I know. And she went she went great because
we lost
that too.
Like, that's hysterical.
I know. I thought it was so interesting because I felt like when we sold them that camper, I said, you know, I understand how God works sometimes.
Yes.
Because I felt like I bought that camper for them.
For them,
it was so
yeah,
perfect for them.
It matched
they
their van.
They adored it.
Yeah.
They loved it. And it was like, you know, I like it when a plan comes together like that.
100%.
And then to hear that within, well, they've only had it like 3 months, four months.
And then you go, totally, what happened? What's on their plan? What's on their plate for this stuff? You know, because they were so happy and content.
I know. They loved going away to the little doggy shows every yeah, weekend.
I just hope maybe the insurance money can give them a little bit bigger, like an upgrade.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Sometimes that happens.
And sometimes it doesn't.
Sometimes it doesn't. You know, maybe we wish them well.
Yeah. But I just wanted to share that was my camper story.
This is what the sad part is, because their van had has something very funny written on it.
That's right.
And it was,
it was Mistosos, and they're Poodles. Okay,
yeah,
that's, but they spelled it capital P, small o, small d, capital L,
yeah,
small e, small s. So it looks like poodless.
Yeah,
that's what it looks like. So it says Mistosos poodless.
Like, you go, Mistosos. I'm glad you pooed less.
I would like a doggy that
pooed less.
Pooed less.
Can you breed that in there?
Yeah.
Can you,
what breed is that?
Yeah.
Pooed and peed less.
Pooed less. Yes, exactly. Exactly. I would like that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So with Tim Ferriss today, I listened to his podcast earlier. I just like the idea that, you know, you can write down, okay, what am I going to lose if this all fails, if this all doesn't work out? What's mm-hmm, the loss? And then go, you know what? It's worth it. I'm going to still try it. I'm still going to believe it's going to be victorious.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to still do whatever it takes. But sometimes you got to know what you're getting, what you're going to get yourself into.
Mm-hmm.
Because not everything is a success.
Mm-mm.
You're supposed to have in your stock market, you know, your portfolio, a variety of stocks, right? A variety of companies, because not all those companies are making money that quarter.
I wish I had stock in EpiPen.
Yes, no, me too.
Or nor did it tank because of that price raise.
Good question. I don't know how that worked out.
Mm.
I don't know. I heard that Uber didn't make any money this quarter.
Uber didn't?
I don't know how that's possible.
Mm.
And I know how it's possible. Do you want me to tell you how it's possible?
Yeah.
Because for some reason, they were giving away $500 in the beginning for recommending another driver. If that driver had... So if you were a driver for Uber and you referred them to another driver who came on board and did 20 drives,
mm-hmm,
they would give you $500.
I know. We know somebody that happened
yeah,
to.
Can
we
you
went
imagine?
What?
$500?
Guy didn't even drive for Uber, and he got $500.
Yes, so that could have been the problem.
Yeah,
but maybe that was all part of their business plan to lose $1.8 million.
That was part of their dastardly plan.
I mean, I don't even know. They're valued at like $20 billion.
And I just saw on CNN that they're thinking about doing $2 rides. How do you do that?
I don't know. And I know in some cities they're actually doing driverless cars,
driverless Uber cars.
Yes,
but there's still a person there, but they're
yes,
not driving.
Yes,
really,
really,
really. Has the world come to that?
Is that what we have to do now?
What's your job? I car sit. I guess I don't know what else you can
I don't
say.
Know.
Hello.
I'm here to prevent the drivers in back from like urinating in the car.
Yeah. Hello, I'll be your host on this trip.
Exactly. I'm there to get you there. Mm. Get you there and back, you know. Mm. It's all crazy. Oh, well.
The world is crazy, Julie.
The world is crazy. Mm.
Go to ChristineMarieandJulie.com. They're not crazy. Well, maybe a little bit.
And so here's the thing about our Sunday night show. We just want to have a good time.
Yeah.
This really is our time for you and I just to, like, hang out.
Let it all hang out.
And so forth, you know.
And so forth, and so on.
Where is that commercial from? I can't remember.
It's an old, I think, hair shampoo commercial.
That's right. Definitely. I think to myself that there's, like, this old commercial where you're seeing yourself in a mirror that sees itself in a mirror, so the reflection goes on and on and on forever and ever and ever. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Was it a commercial of some sort?
Probably. It's not polite to fool Mother Nature. No, I'm just kidding.
But I feel like that scenario where you're looking at a mirror and you see a mirror behind you, that no longer is freaky to anybody.
No.
You know,
but it used to be.
I think it used to be.
Oh, yeah.
Real freaky.
Yeah.
But now it's like low.
What happened to the mystery in the world? What happened to getting your pants scared off? Yeah.
I don't know. That's a good question. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm actually kind of grateful because, you know, during this election season, I'm really just
scary enough.
Crap. Just scared shitless, really. I really am. I don't know what's going on.
And everybody like talks like the talking heads. They talk with such straight faces. I'm like, really, you guys? You're not really chuckling inside saying that?
Yeah, I know.
That doesn't make you want to laugh.
And still, everybody just talks about Trump continuously. Yeah. They just talk about Trump. And he said something like, I've gotten like $2 billion worth of free advertisement on the medias. And the woman goes, well, isn't that because you're bringing up controversy? He goes, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing. But it's free. My stock has gone up. Like, we're going to vote this man president? I am totally freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it.
Mm-mm.
And I don't get how we see him as an outsider.
Daddy said to me,
I don't get it.
I know. How does that happen? He said he was listening to the radio and a 74-year-old woman called in. She was a Trump supporter. And she said, you know, I just hate the way they talk about poor Mr. Trump. Everything they say about him is supposition, she said. Now, when they talk about Hillary, they're talking facts. That's the difference. I'm like, okay.
Really?
That boiled it down for her.
That really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was all suppositions if it's bad on Trump.
Well, see, here's what I want to say about Trump. You know, we had a big, not we personally, but Chicago had a big lawsuit against him. Some of his customers who bought into the Trump Tower in Chicago.
Right.
Because they bought at the beginning prices, which is what you do. You get in lower prices. And then they raise the prices on them at time of closing. Or when they wanted to get in, because they said, oh, now they're worth more.
Mm-hmm.
And we can get more for them. And this woman, who was an older woman, sold. I want to know how old she was, because Trump's 70. I mean, you know, I mean, she probably was like 2 years older than him.
Mm-hmm.
Sued him for it, saying, no, you gave me this price in my contract for 300 square foot. I don't know what it really was. And now you're charging me 600 because you say now it's valued more. And there was a line in the contract, very small line, that says they can do that. And that's the problem. So really, I felt like their contracts were worth nothing.
Worth the paper you can wipe your butt on.
Less than that.
Yeah.
Because if you can do that, and the only reason why the price has gone up is because you sold people stuff at a cheaper price.
Right.
You took away part of the inventory, and now there's less of it there. Now you can charge more. I mean, it's just so I almost swore big time, but it just seems creepy. Now, Hillary, I got to say, too, I don't like what she's done either. I just think to myself, you're a lawyer. Your husband's a lawyer. You guys should know better than to mix the lines between, you know, Secretary of State and your foundation. You know, what the F? Keep it clean. You should know better.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've got a person who I would love to vote for. But yeah, sometimes I just want to shake my head, like, really? You made that mistake?
Mm-hmm.
You gave it to them? You made that mistake?
Mm-hmm.
And then to a guy who's like, you're effing insane.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't get it. I don't get it one bit. But somehow you end up coming up ahead all mm-hmm. the time. Because mm-hmm. he's a winner. He's a winner.
And he's healthy.
Believe me, he's a winner. Mm-hmm. And I just feel confused.
I know that this
and
morning.
And I effing hate myself for watching the
I know. When you, oh, I know. You
for being a fan of ever.
A little bit. Yeah, you have to listen. Like this morning, I turned it on CNN, and they were interviewing his physician, who's a wild cat.
A medical
long
physician?
Hair. Yeah.
Oh, how funny.
And he talks just like Trump. He's like, yeah, he's the healthiest, you know, candidate running for president there's ever been in the entire nation. You know, you're like,
oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's like he talks in hyperbole too.
And you just go, what?
What about, you know, so you have all your cronies around you, and all you guys do is like talk in hyperbole around each other.
And I would almost want to call it like a circle jerk if yeah. I can say that.
Yes.
Radio.
Yes. You can say it on radio.
Except on iTunes, I think we're categorized as family.
Oh. But it was a family circle jerk.
But yeah, we don't know what that means, though. That can mean whatever you think it might mean.
Right.
I don't know what to tell you. Sometimes I just feel, I feel crazy. But you got to be out there. You got to vote. Mm-hmm. Can't waste your vote. Mm-mm. I don't know.
I know, like you said, the Libertarian Party, you liked.
I like the vice president.
The VP more yeah. than you like the president.
Yeah. I know. Here's why I know. There's enough cats in Washington that they're not going to get anything done.
Yeah.
And the one thing I worry the most about, which is our debt, no one's talking about it. So I'm like, well.
You know, nobody ever talks about it, but do they ever sing about it?
They might sing
about the debt. $3 trillion a minute.
Let's get rid of our debt. Let's get rid of our debt. We need inflation to get rid of our debt. No, we don't. We'll give it to Mexico.
Yeah.
Mexico will pay for our debt.
Yeah, with a wall. Oh, do all of debt.
I think if we just talked in cartoon talk about all of our problems, mm-hmm. they really wouldn't sound so bad.
Mm-hmm.
They would almost sound like, oh, I can manage that.
Mm-hmm.
I can take an anvil and drop it on that problem's head, and it'd be solved. That would be awesome.
Wait, 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 wait.
If I ran circles around that problem.
If I just ran circles around that jerk, I know that he'd go.
He'd go away.
Wah, wah. Wawooga. Awooga.
That's a circle jerk for you. All right, girlfriend. Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to the show today. We always have fun on Sunday nights.
We do.
And whether you're listening to us on our podcast and working out while you're listening to us, we hope you got that mile or two or three or four in.
Yeah.
And we want to say, girlfriend, how'd you like the show?
I liked it.
And?
And it was great.
It was great. It was great. It was great.